Lamar, do you see all the people baptized? The choir, have you been baptized?
Oh, we do see people to baptize. That's what Patty's saying. We're taking notes. But we want to invite all of the Sanders Abrena family to come forward. Today is a special day for all of us. Today we're baptizing a special baby, and their parents are going to introduce them. But I want to introduce you first to her parents. Cherise and her husband Chuck. Cherise and Chuck live in Florida, and they're going to introduce their daughter, but I didn't bring a microphone down, so I'll repeat it, or Patty will do that for you. But we're going to do the sacrament of baptism, and we invite you to turn in your hymnals to page 39. And we'll be doing 39 to 44, and all the family has their parts. And so as we talk about what it means to be baptized, we talk about what it means to be baptized into a family of faith. And this is God's love being shared with our new baby that's coming forward. So I'm going to start the service, and you will meet our baby to be baptized. Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All this is God's gift, offered to us without price. So who is presented for baptism today?
Lila Corinne Sanders.
Lila Corinne Sanders. This is Miss Lila. And we welcome her. I'm going to be asking questions to the parents. They both have babies in their arms. So we have Austin here, big brother. And Lila's getting ready to go swimming. On behalf of the whole church, I'm asking the parents first. Do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sins? Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? And the Sanders family comes from, Lynn Haven. So they are in Lynn Haven, Florida. That is their United Methodist Church family. And so they have come here, and they have now a bicoastal United Methodist Church families. But they also have a long line of sponsors and families. So if we already know Grandma and Grandpa, Elaine and Edwin of Rena over there, raise your hand, Grandma and Grandpa. But this is their roll call of sponsors and godparents. There are two that are not here today, but Eric Miranda, the Luella Sangueco, there's Luella. Sheila McBride is not here. Shalene, sister or auntie of Lila. Abrena Navarro. Cheryl Abrena Agas, right down there. April Abrena. Peter Lopez. Fatima Waggle. And Teresa Inukai is not here as well. But they have a long list of godparents. Also, in addition to all of us sponsoring this beautiful child here today. So I'm going to invite the family, as well as the sponsors, to join in together with the parents. Will you nurture this child in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example, they may be guided to accept God's grace for themselves, to profess their faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? According to the grace given in you, will you remain faithful members of Christ's holy church and serve as Christ's representative in the world? Will you, who sponsored this candidate, support and encourage her in her Christian life? And now you, to Lila's community of faith. Do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? Will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include her now before you in your care? God's help. We will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround these persons with the community of love and forgiveness, that they may grow in trust of God and be found faithful in her service to others. We will pray for her, that they may be true disciples who walk in the way that leads to life. So I'm going to invite you all to join in the Apostles' Creed, but we're going to shorten it because we have kids up here. So you'll see that there are brackets. So we will read the first lines of each. So all of you, as a church family, do you believe in God the Father? I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Do you believe in Jesus Christ? I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. Do you And I'll keep on going. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit? I believe in the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now the thanksgiving over the water. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land in that which you promised. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Tell of God's mercy each day. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and appointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of nations. Declare his works to the nations, his glory among all people. Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and to those who receive it, to wash away her sin and clothe her in righteousness throughout her life, that dying and being raised with Christ, that she may share in his final victory. I'll praise you, eternal God, through your Son, Jesus Christ, with you and the Holy Spirit, lives and reigns forever. Amen. Take this child from me. I'm going to invite the family and friends to come closer to gather around. You can stand on the steps, family. I'm going to invite children, Kyra, if you want to come, and Patty to stand as well. And if family can either reach out to one another or put their hand on Lila. Lila. Lila, Corinne, I baptize you in the name of the Creator and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And the Holy Spirit, Lila, may the Spirit work within you that being born through water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now it is our joy to welcome our new sister in Christ. Through baptism, you are incorporated by the Holy Spirit into God's new creation and made to share in Christ's royal priesthood. We are all one in Jesus. With joy and thanksgiving, we welcome you as members of the family of Christ. And I'm going to invite you to turn the page to 44, which is our congregational pledge to Lila and family. Members of the household of God, I commend to you your love and care of this child, Lila Corinne Sanders, whom we this day recognize as a member of the family of God. Will you endeavor so to live that Lila may grow in the knowledge and love of God? Through our Savior, Jesus Christ, do all in your power to increase her faith, confirm her hope, and perfect her in love. God's help, we will so order our lives after the example of Christ, that Lila, surrounded by steadfast love, may be established in the faith and confirmed and strengthened in the way that leads to life eternal. The God of all grace, who has called us to eternal glory in Christ, establish you and strengthen you by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you may live in grace and peace. My friends, let us welcome Lila Corinne Sanders to our family of faith. At this time, our conference lay leader for our church, for North Hollywood, will be Patty Kelsey, and offering a right hand of fellowship as well as baptismal gifts for Lila. She has a certificate of baptism as well as a Dutch cradle cross and a light that she may bring it out into the world. Congratulations and blessings. Thank you, friends. Lila Corinne Sanders, child of God. Good baby, too. Wonderful. You want to stay with me?
Privilege to be able to welcome you to worship at the First United Methodist Church of North Hollywood. Today is Sunday, May the 27th, so please join us right after the service out to your left here in the lounge so we can get to know one another a little better. At 12 p.m. today, after that, there will be a finance meeting in the pastor's study. The office is closed tomorrow in observance of Memorial Day. Then on Wednesday night at 7 p.m., Boy Scout Troop 18 meets in the Scout Hut just off back room behind me. Choir rehearsal takes place at 7:30 p.m. here in the sanctuary. And that's pretty much it this week. Next Sunday is Communion Sunday, and there will be the 8:15 service will be led by Pastor Allison in the Boyer Chapel, and there will be a trustees meeting in the pastor's study after that. The altar flowers today are given by Roger and Linda Eshelman in memory of Roger's father, Lyle, who was born May 29th, 1912, and in memory of his mother, Violet, born June 7th, 1913. So with those thoughts in our hearts and prayers, let us continue with this morning's worship service. Thank you.
In a world plagued by war and terror, violence and destruction, people of faith have a clear call to build peace with justice. Scripture is consistent in the call for followers of Christ to love our enemies, forgive others their trespasses, to overcome evil with good, and to seek peace and pursue it. Peacemakers are blessed and called the children of God. As disciples of Christ, we are called to love our enemies, seek justice, and serve as reconcilers of conflict. We must insist that the first moral duty of all nations is to work together to resolve by peaceful means every dispute that arises between or among them. Peace with Justice Sunday is one of the special Sundays of the United Methodist Church. Each year, on the first Sunday after Pentecost, United Methodists celebrate efforts across the connection that are building peace. You will find a special offering envelope that is dedicated to Peace with Justice in your bulletins. If not, you can go ahead and designate a special offering outside of your normal weekly tithes that just says Peace with Justice on the envelope. And we do encourage you to donate to this cause. Through the miracle of new life given to each of us, we have been adopted into the family of God. More than this, we are heirs to the blessings of God's power, wisdom, and love. So let us share our bounty with others, that we may welcome more into our family. Let us give to our brothers and sisters in the name of Jesus Christ. The ushers will now wait upon the congregation for this morning's tithes and offerings. It is only because of Jesus Christ that we are bold enough to call you Father and Mother. O Sovereign of the universe, we do so now to remind ourselves of our many sisters and brothers, your many children, who need hope and care. Use our gifts to reach others with the story of your great love for our world. Amen. You may be seated.
Good morning. I want to take a minute of personal privilege. I had knee replacement surgery, and I was carried by the people that visited me, the people who prayed with me, the people that brought me treats, and also the people in this congregation that prayed for me. I don't know how anyone can get through a personal crisis or a personal illness without their church family. Now, in preparation for Allison's message, I will be reading two scriptures. The first is chapter 3, verse 1 through 17, John, of course, the New International Version. Jesus teaches Nicodemus. Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him." Jesus replied, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." "How can someone be born when they are old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to life. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. How can that be? Nicodemus asked. You are Israel's teacher, said Jesus. And you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen. But still, you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Now, James chapter 1, verse 22 to 25, again the New International Version. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. May the Lord add his blessing to his holy word. Thanks be to God.
While Wendy's still up here, I want to say in the midst of change and transition, come on now, Wendy. I saw her running up these steps. I would say that was quite a miraculous healing and recovery. But she's right, without the congregation and their love and prayers, but without her faith, she wouldn't be here this quickly. But you are a walking or running testament of today's text, so thank you, Wendy. Walk you down, though. Now you go run back to your seat. So this might be hard to believe now, but the potato was once a highly unpopular food. Do you all believe that? I don't believe it. When first introduced into England by Sir Walter Raleigh, newspapers printed editorials against it. Ministers preached sermons against it. Potato now. And the general public wouldn't even touch a potato. It was supposed to sterilize the soil in which it had been planted and cause all manner of strange illnesses, including death. That's what they said. There were, however, a few brave men who did not believe all of the propaganda against the potato being shouted against it. It was seen as an answer to famine among the poorer classes and as a healthful and beneficial food. But still, these few noblemen in England could not persuade their tenants to cultivate the potato. It was years before all the adverse publicity was overcome and the potato became popular. It was a Frenchman named Parmentier who took a different tack. He had been a prisoner of war in England, and when he had first heard of the new plant, his fellow prisoners protested the outrage of having to eat potatoes. Parmentier instead thoughtfully inquired about the methods of cultivating and cooking this new food. Upon his return to France, he procured an experimental farm from the emperor, in which he planted potatoes. When it was time to dig them up, at his own expense, he hired a few soldiers to patrol all the sides of this famous potato garden, potato patch, during the daytime. Meanwhile, he conducted distinguished guests through the fields, digging a few tubers here and there, which they devoured with evident relish. At night, he began to withdraw the guards. A few days later, one of the guards hastened to Parmentier with the sad news that peasants had broken into the potato patch at night and had dug up most of his crop. Parmentier was overjoyed, much to the surprise of his informant, and exclaimed, "When the people will steal in order to procure potatoes, their popularity is assured." Thanks to a Frenchman, we now eat potatoes au gratin, potato pancakes, potato leek soup, potato chips, baked potatoes, mashed potatoes, boiled potatoes, and now I'm appreciating the name more than ever, the French fry. All because of one person who was able to change the way of thinking and shift their gears to transition a different mindset that he had changed an international cooking cuisine forever. My friends, life is full of change. Transitions can be both exciting and very, very stressful. Can you imagine rather starving oneself than eating a potato? That's because we can't often see farther enough into the future to know. We can't tell what comes next. But what if there was a way to prepare for the next season? What if you could do something now to influence where you end up then? Let us think on these things. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts make them acceptable in thy sight, our God, our leader of transitions, and our Redeemer. Amen. Now, you have probably heard it said that the only thing in life that is constant is change. Some people say big changes come in threes. I have heard people say that the most stressful life transitions, such as getting married, moving, graduating from school, starting a new job or a new family, dealing with a death or an illness in the family, are the most stressful when you have more than one at a time. And they're most stressful when you have these in your circumstances, when they happen to you. For North Hollywood Church, I have experienced you transitioning quite well in the midst of the unexpected passing of Pastor Joey. And then the unknown of receiving a new pastor. And then in a month, you'll receive another pastor. In less than a year, you will have received three pastors appointed to North Hollywood Church. And I see you working through yet another set of transitions and changes. But transition and change is not a bad thing. It can also be transformational, life-giving. In my remaining 5 weeks with you, we will be working on a series together as we look at navigating change both in your own lives and in the life of the church. Today you heard the story of Nicodemus, the Jewish Pharisee who came to Jesus in the cover of the night because he wanted to learn more about the nature of God and the message that Jesus preached. Nicodemus, who was a Pharisee, Nicodemus, supposedly one who should know God, as he was one of the high priests. Even Jesus questioned him, saying, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things?" Yet Nicodemus was experiencing and seeing the works of God through Jesus Christ that he had never experienced in his own life before, and he wanted to know more. He wanted to learn more. He wanted to understand more and what it would entail to enter the kingdom of God. And as we also heard the word, we heard in James, transition and change on our part, does not mean sitting idly by and waiting. Now, James is talking about action, taking action and being doers for Christ. It says, don't fool yourself into thinking that you are a listener when you are anything but, letting the word go in one ear and out the other. Act on what you hear. Those who hear and don't act are like those who glance in the mirror, walk away, and 2 minutes later forget who they are or what they look like. But then James says, but whoever catches a glimpse of the revealed counsel of God, that's the free life, even out of the corner of his eye and sticks with it, is no distracted scatterbrain, but a man or woman of action. That person will find delight and affirmation in the action. Finding Christ in the midst of change is an active movement, a momentum that pushes us to enter into a new chapter. My grandmother was one of the best dressed churchgoers that I knew. And in her 90s, she would sit in the pew next to her former pastor, the other best dressed churchgoer I knew, who was in his 100s. Growing up in Hawaii, most people's idea of Sunday best were aloha shirts, shorts, and a nice pair of slippers. And you would probably all say flip-flops, but there's a language semantic thing, which a change I cannot make yet, sorry. But Grandma and Reverend Tanabe were dressed to the nines. Suits and ties for the pastor. Sunday best for Grandma in her dresses. And she kept them well preserved because she wore them from the 1940s, 50s, and 60s. But Grandma often asked Reverend Tanabe for his opinion on the changing of times, from church dress code to clapping during worship. And Reverend Tanabe would say, Gladys, it's a different time now. We were taught to present our best selves to God by wearing our Sunday best. Now we tell people, come as you are. We were taught to be reserved and pious during worship because the musical anthems were not a performance. But now we affirm the gifts and the graces that God has shared with us through their expression of prayer. This was wisdom that I received from two of my mentor elders who saw the importance of change and transition to keep the movement of the church going. But that did not mean they had to compromise who they were. According to Howard Hendricks in the Monday Morning Mission, the three stages that people go through when confronted with change are 1, resistance to change, 2, tolerance of change, and 3, embracing the change. And of course, we all enter into changes at different places and different times in our lives. But I have experienced so much of number 2 and number 3 here that resistance to change has been almost non-existent. And that is what has been affirmational about the life of this church. North Hollywood first, and even in death and sadness, all of you were able to find and discover new strength in yourself in the midst of grieving. And this was even before I arrived. This church's lay leadership had been empowered by Pastor Joey to lead. And so even in what could have been a time of spiraling, you as a church kept going. Jeff, Roger, Norman, Patty, Sandra, Ken kept the worship and the chapels going. Nyleen, Tanya, and Patty kept the administrative workings of the church going. Letha, Alicia, and Jackie kept the children. The Wesley School did not cease to stop. And the church, each of you stepped up to the plate and fulfilled and took leadership positions to ensure that the life missions and ministries of this church did not skip a beat. And do you know what, friends? Even with the new pastoral change, you will persevere.
We have set a lot of things in motion already. And we have a good momentum going in the areas of rebuilding our church council and the committees that we have here and the ministries of this church. Last week, we received 3 new members. In June, we'll receive more. Today, we baptized Lila Corinne Sanders. Yesterday, at our Blueprint for Discipleship small group training, we talked about seeing every group in this church, even our ministry committees, as small groups that are to grow together in relationship, together in faith development and spiritual formation. The Holy Spirit surrounds us in the midst of transition and change. So here are some tips for how we can continue our trajectory for taking action as we transition and change for transformation. Hendrickson continues in the Sunday morning mission. He says, principles for change. A, people must have reason for change. They must see the value to them of the change, that the plan must be understood by the people, and that the people must be involved in the process. B, people must be prepared for change. Don't just drop it on them. Introduce these ideas and changes ahead of time so people can get used to it and give their feedback. C, people must be involved in the process of change. If people are involved in the planning stage, and that means all of you, to become involved in the life of the implementation and ministries of the church. Therefore, the leaders aren't supposed to do too much for them. It's about you doing it for yourselves. D, people must be exposed to models of change. If you don't know, how are you going to change? Give examples and tools. Evaluate experiences. Share with one another what you know and what you have learned. Experience is worthless unless you evaluate it. Go to educational conferences and seminars. Keep going in your knowledge and learning. You haven't stopped at confirmation. Keep going. And the last one, expose them to infectious people. The good kind, not the toxic ones. But North Hollywood, you are a people on the move. Use that momentum. Continue to grow and thrive by committing to each other, by committing to the ministries of the church, by committing your lives to Christ. And in doing so, may you find new ways to use your potatoes, to make potato salad, roasted potatoes, potato skins, or latkes. Amen. Thank you for worshiping it with us here at North Hollywood First United Methodist Church. I'm going to invite the family of Lila to be greeting you at the entrance so you can meet our new sister in Christ, Lila Corinne. We also want to invite you afterward to join us in our fellowship hall for a time of meet and greet and also refreshment. But we want to invite you next week to our Communion Sunday worship, and our second sermon in the series will be Restoring Balance. But now that the worship is over, the real service begins. So go with this blessing in this time of change and transition. In the name of love and peace, in the midst of the changing world around us, God of love, center us. Christ of our heart, walk with us. Holy Spirit, flow through us. Amen and amen. Please be seated.